crystal speech in the tensions between.
Bobby, seems to me like I'm just scared of never feeling it again. But I know it's crazy to believe in silly things, but it's not that easy. I remember it now, it takes me back to when it all first started. But I've only got myself to blame for it, and I accept it now. It's time to let it go, go out and start again. But it's not that easy. But I've got high hopes, it takes me back to when we started. Quick, but they leave you far too soon. Naive, I was just staring at the barrel of a gun, and I do believe that. Yeah, but I've got high hopes, it takes me back to when we started. High hopes, when you let it go, go out and start again.
BFF.FM, best frequencies forever.
Bringing the underground to the foreground.
All right, good morning. You are listening to TV on the Radio here on BFF.FM. I'm Leah, and I'm here with Jessica.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jess. How are you?
I'm fine.
Did we lose any points for that transition? Or do you
no,
think
that was off to a beautiful that really start? Hit.
Yeah. Did we hit? Okay, so we're TV on the Radio, and today we are talking about the Netflix hit, Cheer, featuring the students of Navarro College.
Or Navarro, depending on who you ask.
In Corsicana, Texas.
The fruitcake capital of the United States.
Yeah. I will say, before we get into my actual thoughts, for the first part of the first episode of Cheer, I was like, is this an actual, like, Drop Dead Gorgeous type, like, spoof of Cheer? And then I realized, no, it is
It's a
not.
Wild world.
It is.
Yeah. The first episode, I was just like, what? Like over and over again.
Yeah.
I did not know anything about the world of competitive cheerleading.
No, neither did I. And apparently Navarro, however you want
to say it. I feel like in the beginning of the series, they all pronounced it Navarro. And then toward the end, they all agreed to change to Navarro.
It polled better.
Yeah.
With the coastal elites, I guess. I also did not know anything about the world of competitive cheer. Had not given it a thought, truly, in my life, other than, as I mentioned, being a fan of Drop Dead Gorgeous and movies like that. Also a big Bring It On stan.
Oh, yeah.
So I didn't know too much about it. But yes, in the first episode, I was like, what are these people doing with their bodies? This is insane.
I was blown away by the fact that people are recruited to a junior college to do competitive cheerleading. And it sort of put, I didn't know the distinction. I don't know. I just thought, whatever, cheerleading is a thing you do on the sidelines of a football game. I guess I maybe vaguely knew about competitive cheerleading, but I didn't understand that there's this vast difference between, you know, like a Raiders girl and these people that the series follows are like elite athletes.
Yes.
I don't really, I'm sure one of them could explain it to me, but I don't really understand why they don't just go into gymnastics, which breaks your body in the same way, but has something of an athletic future possibility to
it. Yes, payout.
Yeah.
The potential to earn before your catastrophic.
Right.
Or what am I trying to say?
Catastrophic injury.
There you go.
Or death. But maybe that's like someone saying to us, like, oh, you guys like HBO? You should try Lawrence Welk reruns. It's also TV. You'll love it.
Yeah, I don't know. But I had many thoughts about this show. My first exposure to it was my Twitter feed lit up with people just talking about how all they care about are these kids now. And people were like, well, I guess I'm into sports now. And it's like, go Bulldogs all over their Twitter feed because people were very swept away by cheer, as was I.
Yeah.
I watched the first two episodes and I was like, I will die for Jerry Harris. If Jerry doesn't make Matt, we're driving to fucking Texas.
Like, yeah, I think you texted me like Jerry this? Harris is my son.
Who do I need to see about this?
Yeah.
Like, I will do my best white woman speaking to the manager if Jerry does not make Matt. And then I gave it a break and didn't watch it for about a week. And I was gung-ho to get back to it the whole time. But when I watched, I started with episode 3 and I was all of a sudden like, get all these children away from this terrifying cult.
It's brutal.
It is truly hard to watch in some places. Episode 3 starts with one of the cheerleaders having tweaked his back at an event the day before that Monica Aldama, the, I guess, renowned cheer coach at Navarro, had told him not to do. And so you see him go up to her, tell her that he hurt his back, and she's like, you're going full out today, right? Since you went full out there yesterday, you're going to do that for me today. And she makes him practice picking up and throwing these people to the point where this giant man-child is on the floor sobbing, crying.
Yeah.
And I just cannot. I literally, from that point on, I was still super, super invested in these kids, and I want nothing but the best for them. I just don't know if the best for anyone is at 18 destroying your body to the point
and
where
he said,
you have no future.
He was crying in pain. And he said, Monica wasn't mad at me. She was just disappointed that I put myself through that.
Yeah.
It's like truly an abusive relationship.
Yes, it is. It is like a weird cult. And it got weirder from there to the next episode, I believe, where you see all the current Navarro cheer team doing a scavenger hunt.
That was so weird.
Where they are quizzed on alumni, not alumni of the school who may have done something, but past cheer team participants. And they are rattling off all these names and these years of these people who are now I don't know, working at the fucking Piggly Wiggly or mm-hmm. Whole Foods, or I don't know why I'm thinking they're all in food service, like, I don't know, insurance brokerages, doing whatever. Yeah, firefighters, we'll get to that in a minute, but doing whatever with their life, but it's
very sad. It's
heartbreaking. And I think
these people don't go on to be professionals unless you go into cheering or coaching, yeah. cheerleading. Like it's kind of the end of the line for yeah. them after they can't be in college anymore. And so it's like this way to keep up this mythology of like how elite it is to be in this cheer squad by forcing them to revere people who have come years and years before them. And it's I don't know. It rings a little pathetic to me.
Yeah. Like, and
that's when I really fell in love with Lexi, who was yeah. my favorite character, because she was the one who's just like, I'm just physically incapable of giving a shit about yeah. these people.
Yeah. I also feel like Ladarius was very clear-eyed about the whole thing. Mm-hmm. He was doing this as his hustle to get to the next thing, which is going to be coaching. And then you see him at the end coaching, and mm-hmm. then he's like, if this doesn't work out, I'm going to get another job or then maybe join the army, which I'm like, do not join the army, Notorious. Yeah. But anyway, the show itself, I thought, was really, really well done. It instantly drew you in to these kids and even the coach. I mean, I think it presented a very, very sort of like, I don't know, this is going to be super pretentious, but like cinema verite aspect, like they really did just look at it and didn't comment on any of it.
Mm-hmm.
I forwarded you an article that Anne Helen Peterson wrote mm-hmm. about it. And she spoke with the director and producer, some guy called Greg. I can't remember. I just remember his Twitter handle, Greg1Potato, because he's from Idaho. They did a show called Last Chance U about student athletes trying to make it to a 4-year college to get a scholarship for their last chance at
right.
athleticism. And he said that they have never been interested in any interpersonal drama.
Right.
They're not there for kids to play to the camera. They really are just trying to shoot and get a sense of what being on this elite cheer team is mm-hmm. like. And I thought that they really, really did a good job with that. They did have some backstories for some of the kids
mm-hmm.
that were universally tragic.
Yeah, and it's as after episode 2, I mean, they get into it a little bit, but then they sort of focus in on, you know, maybe 5 different people mm-hmm. in the following episodes. And yeah, a lot of them have truly tragic, you know, neglected or abandoned childhoods. And you can see how cheerleading has become a substitute for any sort of family structure mm-hmm. for them. And it's great in that these kids' lives could have gone in a very different direction, but like it's also unambiguously exploitation.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really, really tough to see these kids. And look, Jess, you know, and I know, as elite athletes, mm-hmm. I am personally, I just completed day 1 of week 3 of the Couch to 5K yesterday.
Congratulations.
So thank you. It's okay, guys. So I feel uniquely qualified to talk about practicing a sport for 5+ hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just, what do we do? Do we ban college sports?
I mean,
do we
that's
ban
the conundrum.
College sports for money? What do we do? How do we?
I mean, and
this?
You can say this about probably most sports, like mm-hmm. cheerleading. What's the fucking point? There's mm-hmm. no point. It's just mm-hmm. a dumb sport. But so are all sports. And I totally get. I get how great it must feel
yeah.
to perform at that level of mastery, mm-hmm. to transform your body in that way, mm-hmm. and to feel like you have control of this, you know, just that kind of control, the flying through the air. It's mm-hmm. fucking majestic.
It is.
It must feel so good.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, like, you really, you're going to have to pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
These people are all going to be in pain probably for the rest of their lives.
Yeah.
If not living with a catastrophic injury. And what comes after junior college in the middle of Texas?
Yeah.
Like, there's no there's no professional cheerleading that's at this level of mm-hmm. what they do. And even if they did become professional cheerleaders, that those are like minimum wage jobs.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like, but who's to say? Like, do I think the NFL should exist? No. Do I understand how great it must feel to feel like a fucking gladiator? Mm-hmm. I don't know what the answer is, except maybe somehow trying to extract the exploitation from it. And we'll get into how cheerleading is now basically a monopoly yeah. owned by what is it? It
has Varsity Spirit.
I know, it's so menacing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when I saw the guy who runs Varsity Spirit, Bill Warren or something, he was interviewed during cheer mm-hmm. briefly. And I literally like waves of fucking Smart. Jeffrey Epstein vibes radiate off this mm-hmm. evil fucker. And I was like, ew, that guy is terrible. And then I went on a whole dive and found that Varsity Spirit is truly terrible. It is funded by Bain Capital,
ooh.
Which we're all familiar with Bain Capital from the Batman movie, I believe. funded by Tom Hardy in a mask.
I think maybe somewhere on some level, I've not seen that movie, but I think I did suspect.
I conflated the two for sure. No, but it's funded by Bain Capital, which is one of those, like, I don't know, they use a turtle with a straw up its nose as their logo or something. I don't know. They're truly, truly evil, like mega corporation, just in it for the money. And yeah, we'll get into that in a bit. But anyway, as I was saying, I think one of the things that the show did so well is it did just present sort of the facts of how this life is for these kids. Mm-hmm. And it didn't really comment on any of it. It just very clearly laid out the case that this is an exploitative, terrible, terrible situation for these kids.
That was maybe our takeaway from it.
Yeah.
It didn't, I don't think the film, I mean, obviously there's, you're always going to insert your perspective when you're editing something yourself,
yeah, yeah.
But I don't think that was necessarily the takeaway.
No,
a lot of people don't. A lot of people like love Monica.
Yeah.
They think she's great, and like I don't think she thinks she's a bad person.
No, and I don't think
but
she
I do.
Yeah, I don't think she is at her heart.
I think she does care about those kids.
I do too, but I think she cares about those kids
while
only as far
her.
As it serves her.
Yeah.
Literally. And she has convinced herself that she has blindsided all these kids, like the movie The Blind Side. Like, and I think that is the worst. Like telling yourself that you're doing a greater good by doing this inconsequential, fucking unimportant thing that is ruining these kids for as much as it's helping them.
Yeah. I really thought there were moments, especially between her and Morgan, where, like, when they're alone together, Monica's manner was almost like it changed.
Yeah.
It was like, I mean, it was almost a little bit like flirty and weird.
Yeah.
But
when
I,
she asked her to try on the skirt, it was a little predatory.
But it felt like it was predatory or more like when they're alone, she kind of code switches to be more like we're girlfriends here. And like it really felt manipulative to me. Like, you know, she can be a hard ass when they're all on the mat, but then like, you know, make you really feel like she cares about you and she's your mom and like you can come to her with anything, which on some level was true. She was protective of these kids, but I don't know. Yeah, until like they're not useful to her anymore.
Yeah, and she literally said Monica or Morgan wants to please. That's so she has a very clear understanding of what her power is over each of these kids. Even I thought the same thing when Jerry went to talk to her about what he could do to get on Matt. And she's like, I just need you to like do this because I'm worried about Will. And like, she's not really fucking worried about Will. Like if Will gets his shit together and fixes his torn labrum, like then he's fine. He's on Matt. But if not, Jerry, you can like sub in. Like Jerry's a nice guy and he'll be fine. And she uses Jerry to sub in for Ladarius.
She leverages
to teach
him
a lesson, basically, that you can be replaced.
That was so cruel.
And I just, in general, I found her demeanor extraordinarily cold when any of these kids got injured.
Mm-hmm.
She did not go on mat for most of the injuries. Sherbs got like fucking yeeted across that goddamn mat and like just landed on her elbow and it twisted in a very unnatural way. Mm-hmm. And Monica fucking, she did approach because she knew that was a serious injury. And that is the only time that you saw her call for, she was like, do I need to call Cameron, this 25-year-old schlub in a tracksuit who's the like junior athletic college director. Athletic director. Do I need to call him? And I'm like, bitch, you need to call an ambulance.
Yeah.
And like, that's the only time that we saw one of these kids actually get outside help that like as directed through the junior college. And I'm not saying that any of these people are bad people. Like, I understand that the junior colleges don't have the funding for a complete fucking athletic division with like a series of doctors on call.
But and therefore also not the oversight, like because it's not considered. This was in, I think, the other article you sent.
Yeah, from Amanda Mull wrote an amazing piece for The Atlantic that we'll tweet out afterwards.
It's not a varsity sport in the eyes of the NCAA. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't have the safety regulations that even like college football does.
Yeah. And that's one of the big things is that there has actually been a split. Now there's tumbling and something else, which is a regulated sport.
Mm-hmm.
For colleges, and cheer is outside of that.
I was tumbling when I was like 4 years old. I didn't realize I could have stuck with it.
Yeah. I think it's called tumbling and dance. I don't recall. Okay. But anyway, that is, they do have these safety measures in place, like pyramids can't be more than three people tall and things like that, which still
fucking God.
Yeah.
Oh my God. This, I mean,
that was the thing. So this routine that they're doing, you see these kids, this one kid, Gabby Butler, we'll talk more about her and her terrible parents in a moment. But she is an elite athlete who has broken out of the mold. Like, she has a huge social media following. Mm-hmm. She does.
She's a brand.
Yeah, she's a brand. And she clearly supports her entire family. And she does. She does camps for kids. She's like a star in the cheer world. Mm-hmm. And she somehow, I was still unclear whether she was actually at Navarro the whole time or was recruited just that season or whatever. But she is somebody who has been doing this since she was like five and is insanely flexible and amazingly talented. And you see her multiple times break down and just say, this routine is just so hard.
Mm-hmm.
These kids are like leaping from being upside down or vertical to like, or horizontal, I mean, to like jumping vertically onto somebody else's neck who is supported by two gut. It's insane.
Just
and it is
the majority of the show when they show them practicing. I just kept going, oh my God.
Yes.
Like over and over again. It's painful to watch. Mm-hmm. Watching them do the baskets and the sound of the impact of the girl's body against all those arms is horrifying every single time.
Yep.
It's just. And watching a girl get thrown and another girl literally who's standing on two people's shoulders or hands grabs her by like just around the thighs and like holds her. And like, obviously it's impressive, but it's just, it's not ever, I never had real like fun or joy at the like athleticism and the choreography because it just like, you know, was covering my eyes with my hands most of the time.
Yeah, you are just waiting for.
And most of the time someone gets injured.
Yeah, there was a sequence where literally every time they practice, somebody got hurt.
Yeah.
And you see the kids talking about like, oh, he thinks I have a concussion, so he told me not to be on my phone. And like, oh yeah, I think that's protocol that the American Medical Association recommends for like having a concussion.
Yeah.
Go to your room and don't be on your phone for a bit. Like this, these kids are not getting the care that they need for what is being demanded of them. And it just feels so exploitative.
Yeah.
And
if we saw them ever directed to go to a doctor outside of Sherbs busting her elbow, or if that happened, it wasn't shown.
Oh, yeah.
And so we saw
Morgan actually went to
she
the
snuck
ER.
Off to the ER between two practices on the same day, refused to take muscle relaxer because she wouldn't be able to practice that afternoon. And I don't know like all the medical terminology, but the way she repeated what the doctor said was something like, all of my ribs could break. Catastrophically yeah. break and turn my organs into kebabs.
Yeah.
I think. I'm paraphrasing. allegedly.
Yeah.
That's what she said, her doctor said. And she just went back to practice.
And she signed the waiver and went back to practice and was just breathing through it, all 96.6 pounds of her, which was probably a lot less by the end of that season. It just is truly, truly heartbreaking. But again, getting back to the actual show itself, one of the things that I really did appreciate about it is that it did kind of draw focus to how amazing these kids were in just their stamina and their desire to be there for not just for Monica, but for their team, and to like this really mattered and counted to them that they were there for each other.
Yeah.
And they were all like extraordinarily physical with each other all the time, aside from just on the mat where like people are picking you up by your actual vagina. But like there was a lot of like,
They're very touchy,
and they're very, they're always holding hands. They're always like cuddled up to each other. Mm-hmm. And that sense of camaraderie and love and truly feeling accepted and part of something must be, I mean, it's got to be like some primal thing.
Yeah. I can't imagine the type of relationship you have with someone who literally catches you and keeps you from splattering your brains across a gym floor. Like
sometimes drops you.
Yeah, sometimes.
But they have to do 50 push-ups, so it's okay. So your fifth concussion of the season, but they had to do 50 push-ups, so it's okay. But I think that's the real thing that the show did well, is it kept pulling focus to these kids and telling like their tragic stories in ways that didn't seem exploitative in the same way that Cheer did. At least it didn't feel that way to me. I didn't think that they presented any of these stories as anything other than like background. It didn't, have like a pitying lens on any of these kids.
No, I mean, they were telling their own stories. They felt very human and centered in their stories. And I didn't think it didn't feel like exploitation.
But I think that's hard to do in situations like that. A lot of the time it's hard to keep the focus on these kids as individuals. And that's one of the things that bothered me so much throughout this show, is they keep saying how you're a representative of Navarro, like you're taking our money for your scholarship. And God knows what a scholarship to Navarro is. It's what, $2,000 a year or whatever. I don't fucking know what these kids are getting covered, but it's all about like, you're a representative of Navarro.
Right.
She reviews all of their social media. They have to walk a very, very thin line with regards to what they can and can't do. And just the constant harping on like, you're a representative of the college, you represent this team, blah, blah, blah. Don't ever fucking buy into giving up your individuality.
That's
for
part
something
of being in a cult.
That doesn't fucking give a shit about you. Like Sherbs was like in every part of that routine and they fucking made it work without her. Like where was Navarro a part of her at that point? Like they didn't even miss a fucking practice. The Lord of Fire guy, Austin, who got injured during Daytona, the 2 minute and 15 seconds that all of this practice leads up to, he got shoved on a chair at the side of the stage and was maniacal in his like fervor for the team, completely ignoring whatever catastrophic injury. He landed on his head and bounced across the floor on his head and his ankle.
I didn't see it. All I saw was him holding his foot up and hopping off the stage.
Just the very, it's just capitalism 101, like forcing you to believe that like this is important because you represent us. And the thing they are never there for you when you fucking need them.
They're making money off your backs, off literally off your body, off the destruction of it. And you're made to feel like you should be eternally grateful for that opportunity. Mm-hmm. And then when they're done with you, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. It just goes on until you're a firefighter in a neighboring town who then comes back to watch every practice like
I can't picture that guy on the cheer squad. I wonder what his style was like back then. Yeah, this was a guy who looks like Randy Bryce, the Iron Stash.
but that too, like the devastating sadness of this guy being a firefighter and having a wife and kids somewhere else and making the trek back to his junior college to be that invested in his college cheer team, who, it turns out, the town of Corsicana, Texas, is what, 20,000 people or something? Or was it 2,000? It was some number with two in it, but it was less than, I mean.
It doesn't seem like 2,000 people.
20,000, maybe. It's very small. But part of this documentary, in the very first episode, they're walking around town asking people, like, hey, so do you know about, like, Navarro cheer? Nobody in this town knew that Navarro cheer was this elite squad that had won all these like championships. And yeah, what is it all for? Like that's
it's like a little insular little bubble. That's,
it's a cult. It is like a cult. I mean,
a cult, but where there's money to be made. So there's but an not industry by any, that sustains it.
Yeah, but not by any of the kids who are actually in the cult and literally giving their bodies for it. I mean, they have to pay for their own terrible sequin bedazzled
outfits. Oh, my God. The outfits. The episode where they're doing like it's like called the show off or something. It's like kind of the precursor to the big competition. That's just them doing it.
And a bunch of
in
other
front
teams.
Of an audience. Yeah. And you sort of see them all for the first time together, like fully made up with their hair done and the poof. They all look like JonBenet Ramsey.
Yes.
Like it's disturbing. It's, and these are all women who are probably like 20.
Yeah.
But they look like children.
Yeah.
They look like they're 14 or 15.
It is disturbing. They also, there's different divisions. Like a lot of these kids also are on like teams affiliated with gyms, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. So there's the college teams, and then some of them are club cheerleaders, so they do like a private like all-star team, and then there's some other kind of cheerleading, but I forget what it is.
Yeah, I don't know either, but they showed the club cheerleading, the like whatever it's called, and these Navarro kids are like celebrities to these little tiny kids.
Yeah.
And those little tiny kids are all made up like JonBenet Ramsey too. And I would 100% take my chances with a gang of teens in an alley versus any of those little psychopathic 4-year-olds with like insane curls.
Yeah.
And it's,
there's something so weird to me also about just the bow on the center top of their heads, because it's like being a cartoon version of a little girl.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, the whole aesthetic. I understand it's like evolved in its own little universe, but it's so fucking weird to me.
Well, when we get back, let's talk a little bit, excuse me, about how it has evolved in its own universe, the universe of Varsity Spirit. And as always, if you guys have thoughts about cheer, if you think it was magical and you're now starting a late in life cheer career, please do let us know. We would love to hear from you. We're on Twitter at BFF TV on the radio, and we would love to hear more about your thoughts. If you think Monica is a feminist icon for the ages, please do let us know. Do not compare her to Coach Taylor. That's my only thing. We'll be back with more TV on the radio after this.
What if I can't make it? What if it's not meant to be? What if all the plans I made come crashing down on me? But what if I believed you when you said that you were mine? And what What if there's a moment or a second chance for me? What if I don't see you when we're standing face to face? What if I was always second place? But what if I could write the story? What if all this ends in glory? What if the
BFF.FM, best frequencies forever.
Bringing the underground to the foreground.
I helped.
All right, we're back. Really landed that basket. Okay, yeah. So before the break, we were talking about how... what were we talking about?
I don't know. Capital.
Yeah, that's what I want to talk about.
Oh, I kind of derailed. You were going to talk about Gabby's family, I think, and
derailed
you.
Yeah. So, they presented so many of these kids as having like very sad stories of abandonment. Morgan was literally left to live with her brother in a fucking trailer in the middle of Osage, Wyoming.
That was wild.
As a child.
And then her dad was on camera sort of mumbling about like, oh, we don't talk about our feelings in this family. Yeah. I'm like, what does that have to do with you abandoning your child?
Yeah, yeah. He started a new family and then decided that he didn't want the old family had. So he stuck them in a trailer and the grandparents didn't know what it sounded like.
The shit you can get away with in Wyoming.
Yeah, I guess. It's, you know, 200 miles between every house or something. But anyway, yeah, Ladarius, he and his four brothers were put into foster care because his mom went to jail, and he was horribly, horribly, like, picked on and essentially beaten by his brothers because he was gay. And
extra is how they extra, say it.
Yes, extra. And
he was sexually abused by an older and boy.
Yes. Jerry's mom died, and he was also taken in blindside style by an affluent white family in Chicago who, whatever, they seem fine. But they all had these like tragic stories about like terrible loss and abandonment and like terrible, terrible pain. And Lexi had, she was going down like a very, very bad path, preternaturally talented. Mm-hmm. Like, I do not know how that girl does the amount of like flips and things in the air that
it
she does.
So supernatural.
Yeah, but it's, she makes it look so effortless.
Yeah.
And she, that was one of the things she said, is she's like, all these kids that like paid for years and years of gymnastics, and I never paid a dime to do gymnastics, and like, good for you, you know. But anyway, they all had these terrible stories. And then Gabby Butler has both her parents. She, and I was like, oh, okay, here's like a stable home life. Her parents are absolute fucking monsters.
Yeah.
Like, she has the deadest eyes I have ever seen. She is.
What do you think her natural hair color is?
I don't know, but she has the world weariest affect. Like, this is the tiredest fucking 20-year-old or whatever. And she carries the weight of her entire family. Like, she is obviously the sole breadwinner for her family. They have made it. The family business is Gabby Butler.
Yeah.
And I can only imagine how that fucks you up.
Yeah.
She has said, she said, you know, there are days I wake up and I can't feel my body. It's in so much pain. Mm-hmm. And like, a lot of the, this may sound like a wild reach, but I legitimately wondered this. A lot of these kids alluded to having attempted suicide, mm-hmm. or straight up said that they had attempted suicide or wanted to attempt suicide and felt horrible and felt alone. And even Capenna, the one of the assistant
coaches, the assistant coach slash tutor.
Slash Little Women breakout star.
Yeah.
Very handsome. He should have moved to
he
LA.
He should go to LA. Get out of there, dude.
But anyway, he talked about how he had tried to commit suicide while at Navarro College. Mm-hmm. And I truly, truly wonder, like, if there is something to the quest for, like, to punishing your body in mm-hmm. this way. Like, there has to be some connection to, I don't know, it's either like
self-hatred.
Yeah, or it's either like absolutely pushing yourself to the point where it just quiets everything, or there is some like punishment tied to this type of pursuit of athleticism. I mean, if somebody was not on a cheer team and they were working out for 5+ hours a day, like that would be pathological, right? You would be like, you're obviously, I don't know, orthorexic or something.
I mean, I think there is sort of this, I don't know, it's like part of self-harm, which Ladarius engaged in, I think mm-hmm. you said, is about taking control, right? Like trying to focus your pain in a way you can control. Mm-hmm. And I think there's some of that to being for some people, maybe for being like, for working out 5 hours a day mm-hmm. or any kind of like way you control your body, like dieting or losing weight or lifting weights. Like, I think that in itself can be addictive. Like that idea that you can control and change your body and like it's this thing no one else can, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm saying.
You have absolute control over that. And it's the one thing that you can control. And I don't think that's true for everybody, but it was striking to me how many of these kids had been close to suicide, and it was presented as cheer saved them, but in my mind I was like, did it though? Because when you're living on a leave for the rest of your life and your liver shuts down, did cheer really save you? But
Well, it saved them from one thing.
That's
and
the
is
thing.
Taking advantage of the fact that they needed to be saved. Mm-hmm. You know,
like,
They needed a family structure and they needed a way to focus their energy, and that works out very well for Navarro's cheer team.
Yeah. And it's the exact same thing with the NFL. It's those people need a way out. They need, you know,
I think a lot of these sports take advantage of people who are looking for a way out and to be saved from something.
Mm-hmm.
And you can look at it through the lens of like, look what these sports have done for people mm-hmm. who like came from broken backgrounds or poverty. Or you can look at it like, why should you have to be an elite athlete to escape oppression?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It shouldn't be the only way to get to save yourself.
Yeah. And Jerry, the heart and soul of mm-hmm. the Navarro cheer team, got a scholarship to a college in Louisiana. Based on his 4.0 mm-hmm. grade point average.
Yeah.
not based on the fact that he was on the Navarro cheer team.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know. If my kid can't, my child quit gymnastics, like, you know, 6 months into it, she was like, that's too hard. Which I wholeheartedly endorse after seeing this. There is just a real rot at the heart of competitive sports in this country. And mm-hmm. I don't know how to How can we fix it, Jess?
I don't know. I mean, like I said,
15 minutes left. Let's.
I think there is something beautiful to being an elite athlete. I think people should be able to pursue that kind of shit if they want to. But until we extract capitalism from it, which I don't see that happening in our lifetimes, but everything turns into exploitation under capitalism. Do I think people should be able to pursue art or athletics or anything that's like not necessarily like, well, what are you going to do with that when you get out of college? Like, yes, I do think people should be free to pursue that. But under the way we live in America, that's always going to be exploitation. Someone is going to be profiting off of the use of your body.
Yeah. How messed up is that? It's terrible. Let's talk a little bit about Varsity Spirit.
Yeah.
Varsity Spirit, as we mentioned, is a Bain Capital joint. They didn't used to be, but Varsity actively sought to gain control of the whole cheer world.
Mm-hmm.
They run Daytona, which is the ultimate end game for any of these colleges, junior colleges. That's where you go to compete. That in itself. Let's also, while we're talking
have you
about
been to Daytona, Florida?
Yeah, let's also talk about, while we're talking about Daytona for a moment. So Gabby Butler, who supports her entire family, has her cheer thing at Daytona. Her family lives in Boca Raton, which is a 3-hour and 9-minute drive, according to my phone, because I searched it, because her family did not fucking go to cheer her on.
That was so weird.
Nationals.
Like, it made sense for Morgan's grandparents. They were in Wyoming. Mm-hmm. They're probably not well-off people. But yeah, why didn't her parents go?
Why?
I don't know.
They were busy, setting up a night shoot for her after the thing. It is deeply fucked up. Also, every single time her parents got off the phone with her, they were like, I love you, and she just hung up. And I absolutely wholeheartedly endorse that. Those people are toxic. You should definitely break away. And there's not going to be a cent left for you, so you're going to have to restart your entire career elsewhere. It was truly tragic. But anyway, Varsity Spirit set out to control Daytona. And they now have a monopoly on the entire cheer. Oof, the whole thing
is
rigged.
They sell the outfits, right?
And they took it from ESPN. It is now only available to watch on Varsity.
That's right. A lot of the families commented about how you used to be able to watch the Daytona competition on ESPN. And then there was a long sequence of them like all on their iPhones trying to figure out how to watch it on the Varsity app.
On the Varsity app. Varsity sells the clothes, and they do give additional points to teams who have like Varsity gear.
Disgusting.
And it's just, again, it just shows like the absolute level of like carcosa like rot in all of these things is just truly, truly devastating. When these poor kids are like putting their bodies through what could be catastrophic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there was an article. The article you sent me from The Atlantic.
Oh, talk about
mentioned like
sexual abuse
claims
at Navarro.
There was an assistant coach who was accused of drugging and raping one of the girls accused of, and like molesting some of the boys too, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And
they allege
that Monica was told about it, not necessarily that she knew when it was happening, but was told about it. But she denies that. That's not mentioned in the series, which they probably didn't want to wade into those waters. But and it's just like I'm not drawing any conclusions from that. But in the the writer author of that article drew comparisons between like Bella Paroli,
the...
I was going to say Bella Lugosi.
Noted
abuser
vampire.
Young female athletes, Bella Lugosi. And Larry Nassar. And it's just, it seems like it's kind of a problem that keeps popping up, is young female athletes getting abused in the system that is allegedly saving them.
Yeah.
Gross.
Yeah, really gross. And yet the show was very compelling.
Yeah, I totally recommend watching the show.
Oh, yeah. I absolutely, let there be no mistake, I am on the record. I cried when they won Daytona.
I got a little emotional.
I got a little teary-eyed when they all ran into the
ocean. They talked
about
all the superstitions before, mm-hmm. Before big competitions, and a lot of it's typical athlete stuff, but it's kind of weird. And then they're not, like, it's a tradition for the team who wins Daytona to all run into the water.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not allowed to go near the water. They don't, like, hang out at the beach in the days leading up to the competition. They're not allowed to touch the water because it's their superstition. Yeah, and so the scene when they're all in the water, it's like, I don't know. I feel like that imagery of, like, baptismal mm-hmm. waters is always very emotionally affecting, but it was, yeah, it was really beautiful.
Yeah,
I mean, partly because it's also so sad. This is like, this that's is the it. End for them.
Yeah, that's literally it. And that's the thing, this show is just imbued with this like heartbreaking sadness from the first episode, where all of this, like, months and year 2 years of your life at this junior college are leading up to these 2 minutes and 15 seconds in mm-hmm. Daytona. And that's it. That's the most you can hope to attain. They had a talking head lady who wrote a cheerleading book. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, I don't have any information about who she was, but she was great. Thoroughly enjoyed her turn on camera.
Yeah.
She'd sort of talked about the evolution of cheer and how it became, you know, it started just as literally people, like, you were a spirit ambassador for the team, and now it's people 50 feet in the air.
Yeah, it's wild
doing
to think.
75
like,
turns.
If you had asked me, like, what does a cheerleader pyramid look like? I just still imagine, like, what?
Levels five, of people kneeling.
Six, exactly, kneeling on each other. Yeah. And these people are literally tossing, like, standing women 3 stories high.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it is bananas.
I never even really thought about the divergence of, like, cheering for the football team and competitive cheerleading. I'm just sort of like a couple episodes in, I'm like, so when do they cheer for the football team?
Yeah.
Does Navarro have a football
team? Yeah. they do, of course, the Bulldogs. Speaking of that, there's a show that has aired on USA called Dare Me
mm-hmm.
that is dramatized, fictionalized cheerleader story.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the first series or the first episode and intended to go back, but I don't know. I don't have the attention span for anything. So I didn't. But the thing I liked about it is it also had that like very dark cult-like quality to mm-hmm. it. And people have been sort of comparing the two like as they should be, you know, watched.
Yeah, in tandem.
In tandem. We didn't do that, so we can't talk about Dare Me, but if you're looking for a cheerleading show to fill the cheer-shaped hole in your heart, try Dare Me on USA Network.
All right.
Okay, what else do you want to say?
Did you want to talk about who our Trinity is? Is that their competitors?
Yeah, Trinity is their big...
looking through my notes.
Their big competitor.
I was going to say the band TV on the radio.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we're coming for you, TV on the radio. We're practicing 5 hours a day.
Get that fucking domain name from you.
Yes. What do you think? So, I don't know. Say something happened and you had to be on a cheer team. What's your role?
I literally can't even imagine. I'll like sweep up the gym floor after everyone's done. And then
I don't even think I'd be unable. I truly think I'd be unable to unroll those mats. Like,
yeah,
they
like
seem heavy.
What what thing could either of us do on a cheer team?
Literally nothing. Yeah. I mean, I would not even be good at mat talk. My mat talk would be like, don't drop her! Please don't drop her! Oh my god, she's falling!
I think it's broken.
Yeah. Yes, I would not be cool, calm, and collected in any of those situations. No. Did you have anything in high school or that... you know, you were going to take to college that you were outstandingly good at?
I really, I'm very loath to talk about this because I find it still very embarrassing. But I participated in the most white trash of suburban sports in high school, which was karate.
That is not white trash.
It's
we
I'm
all
sorry,
grew up
trailer.
With Cobra Kai, okay?
If you want to know what my
iconic,
life was like in
American.
High school, you should watch Danny McBride's The Foot Fist Way, which is really sums it up. But it was like watching this show made me think of that because it was very extremely culty.
Mm-hmm.
There was this message that, like, you know, even though you're paying for this, like, there's nothing you could do to, like, return the, like, wisdom mm-hmm. and whatever.
The life that skills been, that you're going to yeah. get from this.
And, yeah, and then I got to a point where I was starting college and, like, still trying to do karate tournaments. And I was like, this is, I can't, this, it's stupid. Like, they want it to be the focus of your life.
Yeah,
and,
like, that was my other thing. I was like, these kids are taking 15 hours of classes a week mm-hmm. and they are practicing for 5 hours a day. Mm-hmm. Spring break, they were all on lockdown at the campus while everybody else got to, like,
yeah.
go have their spring break. They all had to stay at Navarro and practice.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they have to keep their grade point average to a certain level yeah, to stay on yeah. the squad.
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy. Bananas.
How about you?
I've never been good at anything ever. Ever. My whole life. I'm just saving up my body for when I need it. And yeah, for when I need it later in life. I will not have broken it at any point because I don't use it.
saving it for a rainy day.
You guys laugh now, but when I'm 65 without a broken hip, you'll all be sorry. Yeah, no, I truly, I mean, it's amazing to me because I see the allure of wanting to, like, yeah, I mean, the joy you must get from exceeding and mm-hmm. excelling at something. And also, I immediately flash to, like, the utter sadness of having peaked at, like, 20.
Yeah.
You know, like, this leads up to Daytona, and say you win Daytona, then that's it. There's yep. nowhere to go from there. And do I want to be that woman at the bar who's like, listen here, kids, yeah. when I was 20, we went to Daytona and won a cheer championship and nobody gives a shit. I mean, mm-hmm. that's what really struck me. Nobody in this town even knew the legacy that all these kids are being forced to learn yeah. the history of Navarro. And yeah. I don't know. What a wild world we live in, guys. Yeah. What a wild world. My takeaway is I love all those kids. I wish nothing but the best for them. Jerry Harris is now on Cameo. And
oh, really?
I would like him to start every day telling me something positive.
Oh, man. Just hiring him to, like, cheer you on while you're putting your makeup on in the morning.
You look good, girl. Yeah. You look so good. I truly, truly wish nothing but extreme happiness for all those kids. I hope they all avoid catastrophic injury. And I felt very deeply about all of them. And I feel like they deserve better than Navarro cheer.
Yeah.
Season 2 is in jeopardy, by the way.
Is there going to be a season 2?
Who knows? I don't know. I would like them to move on to some other kind of sports, but we'll see. Anyway, thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with more TV on the Radio. It's our Super Bowl extravaganza next week, so please do tune in.
Boy.
With Super Bowl Day, Sunday even, would be complete without TV on the Radio Super Bowl extravaganza. We'll see you next week here on BFF.FM.
Clock's running down, the team's losing ground to the opposing defense. The young quarterback waits for the snap when suddenly it all starts to make sense. He's got all kinds of time, he's got all kinds of time. All kinds of